Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Well, you know what old Jack Burton always says at a time like this? Old Jack's always says, what the hell? And thanks for listening to the Gutting the Sacred Cow podcast. Kevin Goatee here. Hope you guys are having a great Memorial Day weekend. A few quick things. One, please follow us on all social media. Facebook, Instagram, Gutting the Sacred Cow. Twitter, at GTSC Podcast. Just do that. It does help us. If you can write a review on whatever podcast platform you listen to, please do so. That also helps. And Gutting the Sacred Cow website, guttingthesacredcow.com. Check that out. Lastly, this episode is really cool. Why? Because JL Cauvin came on to do 2001 A Space Odyssey. Kevin and I have known JL for a while, and JL has caught fire as he now calls into the Howard Stern Show as Donald Trump, does a monster Trump impression. One of his videos went viral. That's how he's gotten noticed. And JL and Donald Trump make an appearance on Gutting the Sacred Cow. So give it a listen. JL does 2001 A Space Odyssey. Thank you guys so much again for listening and watching. We appreciate it. Here you go.
Gather round, here's what I know. It's just that this cow has got to go. I know some people kinda like it, yeah, it's trending right now. Yeah, that does. That doesn't matter, cause we're gutting the sacred cow.
The Sacred Cow, everybody. Yay! Kevin Israel. We are back. How are you, Kevin Israel? I see your hair is out of control.
Keep growing, man. It just keeps growing.
You know, and I hope you enjoyed our last week's episode, and that was Matt Achety from Rotten Tomatoes and the Adam Carolla Show doing The Usual Suspects. He did kill it. And also, Dave Landau will be coming up next week doing Philadelphia, so get ready for that. But before we get to that, we are going to get to a guy I've known, we both known from for a long time. He's had me on his podcast several times, and now he has just caught the lightning in the bottle with his amazing Donald Trump impressions. He's been a stand-up forever and a day. Is how many albums now, JL? Four?
Six stand-up and two albums as Trump for a grand total of eight.
Jesus Christ.
The content master.
Johnny Cash times four. JL Cauvin, everybody. JL Cauvin is here.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you, sir. You're a movie guy. We've been talking about films in your podcast many a times. JL has opted to choose. This one's made Kevin and myself scratch our heads. This is not one that, you know, we thought was a beaten path kind of film that people are looking to take out. JL selected 2001, A Space Odyssey. Got to ask, what made you decide to choose that one?
It is, when based on the criteria of the show and what movies you want to do, it was, I did not know, fortunately it did, I didn't know if it matched the box office requirement, but I knew that it was this real film school, film critic, film snob, like darling that, oh my God, because it's Kubrick. Like anybody who really wants to sound like a real film expert, they name Kubrick as their favorite director. And this movie, I have seen it now, rewatching it for this show, I'd seen it. It was the fourth time I've seen it. And I just thought to myself, I was like, I've never understood it. I've never enjoyed it. And it is so critically acclaimed. And it was on like the AFI's, like it was in like the top 50 or 60 of their 100 greatest films of all time. And I said, it was a no brainer. Cause I just thought, what are movies that people think are amazing and I hate? And it was like, this was like literally the top of the list.
And interesting
I feel like it's the industry telling us this movie's great. I refuse to believe there's people who could honestly say
Well, that. Let's get to it. Kevin Israel, the old IMDb 1 to 10er. What did 2001 A Space Odyssey achieve?
Oh, this was got had to be a strong hand job. I'm going to say a 9.6.
8.3.
Wow.
Rotten Tomatoes critic score
93.
On the money! Give him both showcases! audience score?
I you know what? Just out of my satisfaction, I want to say it's like a 63.
89. And JL said film snobs. If anyone says Kubrick is their favorite director, they are a film douche, not a snob.
That 89 is proof that people are afraid to say what JL just said. Right. I don't get it.
I want people to fucking say, I watched this film not on acid and then rescore it. That's what I want, is honesty. Now, JL mentioned our criteria. Remember, folks, all you need is just one of the three criteria to hit. But this film hits all three, as we just talked about. Obviously, very critically acclaimed, very much beloved. And now, financially, a $10.5 million budget in 1968, which translates in today's dollars, 79.6. It grossed,
that's not much I thought it'd be.
Grossed in 1968,
146. Oh, my God.
Translating today's dollars, $1.1 billion.
That's a lot of people on acid going, you got to go see this thing.
Basically, this movie is the Avengers minus all the Avengers. Yeah. Just lights and space. And people are like, yes.
Oh, you forgot one other thing. And fun. Quotes, wow. Kevin Israel. Quotes, did you have any quotes?
No. I just didn't want to experience this movie.
Being there was very little dialogue, I felt there was even less opportunity for quotes. And if you really wanted... Yeah, Dave. Open the pod doors, Hal. That's it. That is the only thing I could even want to write down, which I did not. No quotes. JL, any quotes that stuck out on your end?
No, just... like Hal dying, but I don't even remember the quotes. I just remember him like saying, Dave,
that weird song.
I'm scared, Dave. And like, God, there's four times I've seen this movie, and all I can tell you is Dave and Hal open the pod door. That's it.
I mean, I couldn't quote the whole conversation, but his exchange with his daughter in the phone booth, I just thought that was all. It just was like, do you have kids? No. Okay, well, go write how you would talk to your daughter if you weren't going to see her for a while.
By the way, Kubrick invented FaceTime. That's one of my notes I have. And that girl, Kubrick's daughter.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Daddy.
Yeah. Five.
The winner of the Sofia Coppola Award for worst placement of your daughter in a movie.
Yeah, but at least Kubrick only had her in his scene for 45 to a minute and a half. That's it, thankfully. Five fun facts.
Five fun facts. Whoa, five fun facts. Five fun facts. Five fun facts. Five fun facts.
Kubrick tried taking out an insurance policy with Lloyd's of London to protect himself in case alien life forms, not ALF, the 80s hit sensation, alien life forms were discovered before the film's release. Lloyd's of London said no.
There are so many drugs in that decision.
Kubrick, that sounds like something out of a parody. I'm sorry.
No. Like I'm going to step on you.
That sounds like something out of a parody about a pretentious filmmaker.
If this is not a Christopher Guest film the next 3 years, I don't know what is. Sorry, Fred Willard, you won't be a part of this film. Number two, Kubrick supposedly burned footage. Kubrick supposedly burned extraneous footage, but it was found in a Kansas salt mine in 2010.
That's funny that we find in 2010.
Well, how much footage total was shot? 200 times the final cut. 200 times is the total footage shot. Can you imagine how many miles of film that must have been?
That's, I just want to know, was it just multiple takes or was it whole just separate storylines?
I'm going to guess the second. I got to think it's the second. But Pink Floyd was approached to do the music, but they could not because of other commitments. One including making an album that I will never listen to. And my last fun fact, 200, this is very specific too, 241 people walked out of the screener, including Rock Hudson. He asked, what the hell is this about? Arthur Clarke, who wrote the book, said, if you completely understand 2001, we failed. We want to raise more questions than answers.
Anybody who writes a story and says something like that is an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a Alex Rodriguez fucking caliber douche level right there.
I think even those fun facts, interesting as they were,
thank you,
probably rank very low on the fun level compared to a lot of the fun facts. Yeah, that's what this movie is. Like, you can't even actually, you can come up with like some interesting facts at best. Like, nothing around this movie in any way is fun.
This is a 2-game losing streak in the fun facts department, as this and Parasite had very lackadaisical fun facts.
I feel like the filming of this was the anti-Caddyshack.
Where everyone's getting high on set. Yeah. They were both getting high on set.
Yeah, right.
Different style of trips, but you're right. The laughing, the entertainment and laughing off camera.
Yeah, there was no fun. There was no fun on Kubrick's set.
This must have been the equivalency of being in Sunday school on Super Bowl Sunday.
Exactly.
Fair. But now, we don't need to got the sacred cow because J.L. Colvin called dibs. So now, J.L. Colvin, it is your turn to get the sacred cow.
I hate this movie. It's the kind of movie when somebody tells me they love it, I try not to show it on my face, but I like lower my opinion of them. I'm like, oh, I didn't know you were like one of those types of people who like says you love 2001. It starts the music. The only compliment I'll give this movie is the music is A+. That's it. Like it's great music and everything. I actually own the soundtrack. That's how much I like the music. This was pre-streaming, pre-iTunes and everything. Like when you're like, I like that one song. Yes, I will take that $10 album, please.
$10? You did not go to Sam Goody and buy that CD. I promise you that.
but it was, I'm not even sure how to start. Like the movie, the most interesting part of the movie is the Neanderthal origins of World Star.
100%.
And that's pretty much it.
Jesus.
And once that ends, you're like, oh, that was kind of interesting. Although even in that moment, if you had just told me, you know how Full Metal Jacket, another Kubrick movie that starts with a great 40-minute movie, and then I turn it off every time after that first 40 minutes?
Like clockwork for me as well.
Yeah, it's like that is the greatest short film I've ever seen. I have no idea what happens after Gomer
Pyle dials. Yeah,
yeah. So, and that's fine for me. But with this movie, it's like it has this like 25-minute like Neanderthal primitive man sort of intro that is mostly interesting, except of course then the monolith, the black monolith shows up, and I don't know what that is. Obviously it represents some sort of, hey, this is like knowledge or some sort of cosmic thing. They go crazy and learn how to use tools from it, and then we leave them, we're done with them. And there's this jerk off like, hey, look how he turns the bone into a ship in space, even though it's actually not that great a transition.
No.
but at the time they were like, oh, you know, like I'm sure it was like the, you know, this, they just kept replaying it like the Zapruder film in film schools. Like, no, look, and back and the bone.
To the left.
Yeah.
Back and to the left.
And it's these long, gratuitous sort of, I guess they were impressive at the time. That's the problem is, I guess you have to give some credit to if he was advancing film or camera shots at the time, but it's really just a director going, yeah, I have no dialogue. I have not much of a script. I'm going to do some unconventional, maybe cool things with the camera. And maybe in 1968, that was cool. And it does not translate today. But I was thinking to myself of other movies, Terminator 2, which I'm sure you're both a fan of, mm-hmm. Both fans of. That's a movie that if you look back at the effects now, you're like, oh, we've really come a long way in the morphing kind of effects. But the movie's really enjoyable and fun. Sure. You're not sitting there taken out of it because the effects no longer hold up compared to 2020. You're just like, this movie's still awesome. And like this starts, I mean, this movie is like stuck in a time capsule where you're like, I guess if I was alive and aware of movies in 1968, maybe I could remember 50 years later. You know, actually, I remember we'd never seen anything like that. But if you're not in that group,
right.
It's not that there's nothing about it that's so visually impressive that holds up or makes me go, wow, that's. And then if you're not impressed by the effects, what are you going to be impressed by? The weirdness of it? The fact that you leave, you're just okay, artificial intelligence, that's kind of interesting. And then I get into this confusing ending. So it keeps like, the best thing I can say about the movie is each the first two thirds of it, the Neanderthals or whatever they are, and the HAL system, both have interesting elements to it. And then I'm like let down. And then we get to the final third, which is just like, what in the fuck is there a giant baby in space? Like, what is that? Like, you can't, it's easy to make a movie if the goal is just to confuse and hope people call it profound. This is like modern art. This is like a modern art version of a movie. It's like I threw paint on a canvas and sold it for $2.5 million. I'm a genius. So that's what it kind of felt like.
It's like the Jackson Pollock effort.
I even feel like there's more effort into, I mean, no, both take a lot of effort, but I don't get either.
What would I'm curious to know, what would Donald Trump have to say about 2001: A Space Odyssey?
Well, let me ask him. If you would excuse me, please.
I will go right ahead.
This is, hello, welcome, we're getting cows. I think we're doing, you know, Nikki Haley would not be okay with this show because she's an Indian, by the way. They're very big into the cows in the where she's from. Well, what I would say about this movie is it's a little confusing, okay? But I like the fact that you basically never see, after the first 20 minutes, which is just basically, I don't know if that's Chicago or what's going on there, but there's a lot of violence, okay, gang violence in the first 20 minutes. And then we get to space, and it's nice because it shows as we get to the future, all white people. So I don't think this, I think JL is being a little too harsh because it shows a beautiful future where it's like only white people and they wear like very cool futuristic clothes and do cool things with machines in space. And it's, I think it was pretty nice. I don't think it's the best movie, but I think it's a sort of a solid, you know, B plus based on just the messages racially.
I'm surprised, Mr. President, you're not a big fan of, you know, science to a degree. So, and you yourself have said you missed the days of Gone with the Wind and Sunset Boulevard, films of that ilk. But this film back in the day, very, obviously science fiction, very advanced in its filmmaking skills. So I'm surprised to hear you say that you like this film.
Well, I like the fact that, like you said, it's science fiction. It sort of proves that a lot of science is fiction. You know, you can't really trust the science. So I think it sends a good message there. And I think, you know, with movies like Gone with the Wind, you know, it's once again, it's showing us that trajectory where like you had, that's a big word, by the way, trajectory. You had some blacks in Gone with the Wind, okay? But then we get like 170 years later, 150 years later, no blacks. It's just great people, probably of like Scandinavian, like Norway, Finland, those type of people in space doing great work. And you know, I was just disappointed there was no Space Force.
I was going to ask, yeah. would you watching this movie, did it lead you to think that we should send the Space Force to Jupiter?
I think it was... It did. It crossed my mind, of course, because, you know, the mission to Jupiter was a very strong mission. And I don't think it turned out so well, you know, and now I'm very pro-life, okay, very pro-life president, but I was a little concerned about the, like, 14-foot fetus in outer space. I don't know if it was going to make it, to be honest, you know. I don't know how it was going to get born. But we'll see what happens. Maybe there's a sequel with a baby, you know.
Is this something you watch at the White House with Melania and Don Jr. and Ivanka? Is this something that's a family affair for the Trump?
Well, it's kind of funny to watch movies with Melania in general because she just doesn't get any of them. You know, this one was funny. Like, she doesn't get, you know, the English is like her fifth language. And let's just say it's not the best when she speaks. But I will say that this movie is kind of fun to watch. You know, you ever like do a laser pointer and watch a cat like run around and try to catch the light? That's what it's like watching Melania watch this movie. It's like all the lights and all the different text. She has no idea what's going on. I'll be honest, I don't use this word a lot, but it's kind of cute to see her struggling so much with this film.
Maybe you and Jim Acosta can get together and share your thoughts of 2001. Maybe he likes it. Maybe he likes it as well. Maybe you guys could break bread over that one.
I don't think he's smart enough to like the film, to be honest. He's a showboat and he's a nasty fake news.
Gotcha. Any other final words about 2001, Mr. President, before we let you go?
No, just that I hope that 20-foot baby, I hope it's, you know, if it was born in 2001, you know, it couldn't vote now.
So hopefully there's like a 50-foot human walking around somewhere, probably Texas, because they're very big there, and hopefully it votes for me. So 2020, you know, maybe is the sequel where the big baby becomes a big Trump supporter. We'll see what happens.
Appreciate your time, Mr. President. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me go get the failed comedian again. Oh, hey, guys.
Oh, wait, what's up? Well done.
We got the president.
Well done, man. This is, continue with your argument, if you would, sir.
Yeah, it's I have tried this movie. I think the reason I'm so confident in my opinion of this movie being just annoying, and it's not to say there aren't elements to it, but I'm one of those people that thinks, well, a movie can have good elements to it or can do new things, but that doesn't automatically make it a great movie. Like, you know what I mean? Like, somebody can use a camera technique, and maybe that's good for teaching film editors or cinematographers, but it doesn't mean the whole movie is like a great movie. Right. And I feel like it leans on that confusion. And oh, it's very artsy and very, ooh, I don't know what's going on here, but you know what? Better to say, wow, very, so interesting, such a genius film, instead of saying, I get some of it. Like, I get some of it, and I've seen it 4 times now, and I don't enjoy it. But not every movie has to be enjoyable, but I also don't find it as very interesting either. Like, I'm just like, this feels like somebody just threw a bunch of like ideas together into a 2.5-hour movie, and that's all we're left with. We're just left with like, wow, that was a mixtape of interesting ideas and nonsense.
I mean, it's funny how you say you don't find it interesting, yet you've seen it 4 times. I understand one time the first time, and then this time to help us
watch our podcast.
But the additional 2 times, I must know the logic here.
Well, the first time was a high school film class, so that was just okay. And I was like, I don't know. But then probably 10 years later, it was playing 70mm screen near where my brother lived in D.C. This really nice theater, and he had never seen it. And I said, I'll give it another shot because, you know, like maybe seeing it on the big screen will really turn it up, and maybe I'll pay more attention to it than I did in class. And I left with my brother, who's a very thoughtful, smart guy. And we just looked at each other. I was like, I don't get it. And I don't remember the third time I watched it. I'm sure I just was like, let me see. Am I missing? You know, the third time was am I missing something? Let me just make sure it's maybe it's me. Maybe.
You spent 10 hours of your life with this movie.
Wow.
Well, although you got to discount, one was a class in high school. So like, that's better than doing another class, I guess. Barely. The fourth time was for this show, so that was just so I was fresh. Refreshed. So got it's really it. 3 views and some homework.
Any other bullet points you have here? The floor is yours for as long as you want.
I mean, I already said the music was good. I think it's interesting. I have no idea where those actors are who are in the movie. Maybe they all quit acting. Because I feel like the guy who starred in it, I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Kier, it's like, or whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Julia.
I'm like, it's weird that you're like the star of one of the big, amazing films of all time, and I have no idea what else you did. Maybe you got burnt out from 5 years of filming with Stanley Kubrick. But I just think it doesn't hold up also futuristically. Now, I know some of that, some movies like Alien, if you look at their vision of the future, it's kind of weird and off, a lot of blinking lights and stuff. But a movie like Minority Report, which is 18 years old already, really seemed to have an eye for the future of tech, because it's all touch screen and like wiping things. It was like they were inventing the iPad before the iPad came out.
I'll go back one better. Demolition Man, god damn it.
Did they do that?
They were doing, they had keypads and stuff too, but they had the FaceTime. They were doing other things.
Oh, well, so there you go. Yeah. It's been a while since I saw Demolition Man, but they
love that film.
Demolition Man's 25 years old.
I know.
So maybe
more than that, 27. Yeah, I saw it in high school, 93. 27 years old.
Oh, 93. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Well, there. If you are one of the revered film classics of all time, and Demolition Man managed to be like more precise in its depiction of the future than you are, then I think that takes you down a peg in terms of, you know, the genius of your film, your vision of the future. That's like
Blade
a
Runner. Blade Runner even probably captured the future a little bit.
It was a
weird, almost steampunkish future, but it still felt like something like maybe we end up there. We're not ending up in 2001.
Right. Like, I know I'm sort of rambling, but there's just, I don't like anything. It feels like I could speak for an hour because I don't like really anything about the movie other than the music and 90% of the opening 20 minutes with the primitive peoples.
But 3 minutes of that was pure black screen. So,
oh my God. Thank you for reminding me.
Opening beat.
Yeah. Oh my God. I was literally sitting at the in front of the TV, and I said, "Is something wrong with our TV?" Because I did not remember this. "This is like a new TV. What happened?" And I was like,
"I googled. Is this supposed to be happening?"
And it was, and then the like credits start. What a pretentious, like, then it wasn't like the old classic films like Ten Commandments, where it'd be like the Ten Commandments overture,
right?
You know, where you're like, "Oh, I guess they just did this for the score and to set the scene." Yeah. This one was just like, is our screen not working?
Yeah. And then that just big blue MGM logo.
Yeah. And I was like,
I guess this works. I don't know. I would love to know what the logic behind that was. Like, there was no, outside of just the building of that music, it did nothing.
Like, I don't want to, it's one of those movies where sometimes I'll leave a theater. There've been a few times where I've needed some elements of a movie like explained, or I've done like some research, like, what was that about? And I go, most of the time I go, I'm annoyed when I have to do that. I wish it was a little clearer. I'm not a dummy. But sometimes there've been rare cases where I read about it, I go, oh wow, that's actually, there were some elements of the show Watchmen on HBO that when I read like how deep the creator's thinking was on the show, I actually said, well, I got 90% of it, but I'm actually glad I read that because that did make me go, wow, that's deep. Like he really thought through some serious things. That was cool. But with a movie like this, I don't even care. Like if there was a documentary by Stanley Kubrick, just like explaining 2001, I'd be like, I don't care. Like, I don't want to know because your movie annoyed me. And there were so many elements that need explaining that I don't even think you could fully explain it.
So. Yeah, the director's commentary track and the DVD, which I don't own or will never own, will not be my future anytime soon because that's got to be another 200 times the final cut footage with him rambling on an acid trip that no one gives two fucks about. But
can I say one thing? If I had like a Borat type show, I think what I would do, not obviously as Borat, but I would just convince like film students and film snobs that I had like a rare 6-hour director's cut of 2001 and invite them to like a screening and just like almost just basically repeat the film, like edit it. So it's you're just making a 5-hour film where it's like looping at certain points and like you add in some extra Technicolor nonsense just to see if people are like, you know, people should really see the director's cut. I mean, it's a great film, but God, when you see the full vision that Kubrick wanted, you realize how genius he was. 45 minutes of the spaceship
just going through space.
Yeah.
Really. It really made me feel what space travel is like.
You could, and here's your target group. Anyone who bought the Lord of the Rings trilogy, the extended cuts, that is your target audience by far.
Wait, so are you saying I hate... the real enemy is me?
Yes.
You mean you sat through 4.5 hours of the Two Towers? Oh, boy.
At least you don't have to be a fan, but that is, I feel insulted on behalf of that whole film crew that you would toss them in the same light as 2001.
It's not as bad, but the Two Towers is walking and walking and walking and walking, 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 walking. All right, enough of that nonsense. You think there are a lot of blowhards out there? You're right, because now we have critics 5-star reviews.
5-star reviews. 5-star reviews by critics.
Way ahead of its time, Stanley Kubrick delivers one of the most influential and important films of all time. Stanley Kubrick's 2001 A Space Odyssey is the picture which science fiction enthusiasts of every age and in every corner of the world have prayed, sometimes forlornly, that the industry might one day give them. It's a profound, I know, oh, they love words that don't ever go together. It's a profound statement on humanity. It's one of the greatest films ever made, and it is one that should be seen in the theater to truly appreciate its greatness. My makeup was smudged because I had tears running down my face. The beauty of the cosmos. I loved every minute of it.
The beauty, that scene where they're going through the, where he's, you just assume he's traveling through space. It looked like Guitar Hero. The whole time I'm like, Guitar Hero.
That's hilarious.
I don't think I could play it, but I get it.
The devil went down to Georgia on extra hard. Oh, fuck.
This is level 5. I don't know that I can do this.
Yeah. Now, critics 1-star reviews. By the way, these films all culled. The one that's furthest out was from the year 2000. So it's nothing from like 1968 or thereabouts. Critics 1-star reviews.
Critics 1-star reviews. Critics 1-star reviews.
A whimsical space operetta then frantically inflates itself again for a surreal climax in which the imagery is just obscure enough to be annoying, just precise enough to be banal. A small sphere of intellectuals will feel like Kubrick has said something simply because one expected him to say something. Most moviegoers will only wish that Mr. Kubrick would come back down to Earth.
Who wrote that? Because I'd like to send them like a gift card or something.
Yeah. I've never felt more connected to somebody reviewing a movie.
Yeah. Two more. Now, seen in the actual 2001, it is a less visionary masterpiece than a crackpot Looney Tune. Pretentious, abysmally slow, amateurishly acted, and above all, wrong. The movie is so completely absorbed in its own problems, its use of color and space, its fanatical devotion to science fiction detail, that it's somewhere between hypnotic and immensely boring. Now, we're going to get to the more fun sections, because now it's time for Amazon 5-star reviews.
Amazon 5-star review the ooze. It's time for Amazon 5-star reviews, 5-star reviews.
You have to get into an almost zen-like frame of mind to be able to sit down and watch this movie. It is slow, very slow. The word meditative was used in one description. As it starts out, you see nothing but blackness on the screen for several minutes, with this ethereal, otherworldly soundtrack droning in the background. I don't remember this from when I watched it as a kid, so I skipped ahead just to make sure there wasn't something wrong with the playback. But it's okay. Just go with it. Sounds like a rapist.
Sounds like somebody getting ready to rape somebody.
I just said that. I said the rapist is getting in the act. Next one has not.
Relax, baby. Casper's here.
It's okay. This one is almost in written haiku form. Almost. Has not been surpassed. Never will. The message is sublime. Next one. The greatest film ever made will be studied until the end of time. I stand by this statement. Kubrick was able to achieve amazingly, still hold up to this day. I read it as is. I don't insert grammar. Not for me. But I'm no film critic, so I'll shut up. Bottom line, watch this movie. Next one. And thankfully, the extra material finally explains what the ending really means. Not, you are really meant to ponder the meaning, not be given it spoon-fed. This movie is meant to have the person think about it. What the movie is not, it's not a bug hunt. It's not a shoot 'em up. It is not the Wild West in space.
That's one of those reviews, that one you just read, is like, that's such a cop-out.
Sure is.
Like, nobody thought it was going to be Star, you know, I don't know, there was no Star Wars at the time. But nobody, I assume, I didn't go see that movie thinking it was like, pew, pew, pew. Like, no, I knew it was a serious, thoughtful, critically acclaimed drama about space and mankind. But like to immediately go to the, sorry, no lasers, no blah. It's like, oh yeah, but that doesn't, just because you think the movie sucks doesn't mean you were like, hey man, where were the aliens and like shooting? Like there's a middle ground where it can be an interesting movie that doesn't have aliens.
I'll empty my bank account and say that guy works at Barnes & Noble's. and it will give you the you're looking for the fiction section over there. Almost a Bill Maher.
The comic books.
Yeah. Amazon one star reviews.
Amazon one star reviews. Amazon one star reviews. Amazon one star reviews now.
The boring and drawn out lack of story make it almost tangibly painful to watch. However, when your name is Kubrick, anything you poop out is hailed as genius. As an art film, it's great. As a masterpiece of cinema, it fails.
I don't know that's even great as an art film.
Yeah. Love sci-fi, and this was honestly the worst movie I've ever seen. Recommend not watching it. Waste of 2.5 hours. Save yourself. I wish someone saved me. Was let down by the 4.5 stars by almost 4,000 reviews. Watch Interstellar instead. I say, you had me until you said, watch Interstellar. Not a fan.
I'd still watch Interstellar over this.
I would too.
Yeah, without question.
Unable to screen in a classroom setting. I want a refund. I say, funny, I'd rather watch a school shooting than this film. Some reviewers will say it's art, and if you read the book, you would understand the film. In my view, if you have to read the book to understand the movie, it is a bad movie. Recommend skipping it, but if you're a glutton for punishment and you want to see what all the hype is all about, I would definitely have the fast-forward button ready. Mm-hmm. Okay, not the best. That was the next review. Such a well-known and talked-about movie, but I guess that's because of what was the audience 40 years ago. For today's well-educated and experienced audiences, this is more of a torture. CIA should have used it in Gitmo. We could have found Bin Laden about 20 years faster, right, guys, if we would have used this film? Okay.
Probably.
To the film students, watch this so you know what bad filmmaking is and avoid all the mistakes. First problem is, there is no story, so make sure you get a good story first. I say the first Wolf 2001, there is no story in 2001. Last and not least, maybe a 16-year-old male who's never had sex and was mildly drunk or stoned would genuinely like this movie. Everyone else is pretending to like this. Oh, and Greg Gutfeld might like it as well.
Greg Gutfeld?
Yeah. Is that really what it said?
Really what it said. I knew you'd like that one, DJ. I go, hey, that's uncalled for. I love Stuff Magazine back in the day. I don't know about you guys, but I sure love that magazine. Greg Gutfeld gets a fucking mention in the Amazon. And you know what? To what you said before, JL, not only were the 5 fun facts not as fun, they were more interesting. Even the goddamn 5, the Amazon one-star reviews are our favorite segment because all the miscreants come out guns blazing. And these were at a 6 at best, so... I blame
it
you.
Just doesn't it just this movie like lulls you to low energy apathy, like disappointment, so that you're just kind of like by the end of the watching this movie, if you were to sit down and write a review, the attitude would be like fuck it. Like that's what I would be able to muster. It wouldn't be like here point A B C D. I'd be like this movie like tired me out from like boredom and like disappointment, so just don't see it. I'm going to sleep.
Kevin Israel, I'm going to go over my notes first because I'm sure we may have the same score. Notes: I think the editor from Planet of the Apes is looking for his misplaced footage. How about you guys? I want to set fire to two people: the editor of this film and JL Cauvin. Very beautifully shot. This feels like Epcot and Space Mountain mashed into one. This is the Avatar of the 1960s. No plot, all picturesque. Was Kubrick the inventor of FaceTime? I already asked that. Oh, the kid asked for her birthday a Bush baby. She didn't specify. Was that George W. or Jed? Or was that just racist slang? I couldn't figure out which one it was.
I wanted to know what a Bush baby was. I didn't look
it up. So did I, yeah. The music choices, as you said, are amazing, but they drag on. This is the biggest musical / non-musical I've seen. This is High School Musical High without abs, bulimia, and blowing casting directors in hopes of starring in Neighbors. By the way, what weirdo lays around without a shirt but wearing shorts, sneakers, and Bono shades besides Bono? Way too much filler in between, but to be fair, the scene going into space to fix a satellite took less time than it takes an improv troupe to make me laugh. Enough of the dark screen. We get it. You're avant-garde and you like Yoko Ono. Move the fuck along. And an hour and 32 minutes in, something finally happens. The last act was only meant to indulge those who dropped acid during the previews. Nothing more. 2001, the number of minutes this film felt like. 2001, the number of times it said, fuck you, J.L. Coven. I give this movie a resounding 3. I hated this film. It is pretentious. If you say you like it, you're lying. You want to see, this is Kevin Israel. This is on our Mount Rushmore of films people say they like just to seem smart. Hated this film. It's only getting 2 style points because at the time it's very beautiful and picturesque. But other than that, it and very, very forthcoming with the AI component, Siri, you know, 40 years after the fact, but fine. But this film sucks. I hated it when I saw it in college, and I fucking hate it now. Fuck this film. It's a 3. Kevin Israel, go.
Unlike you, I actually want to thank JL for making us watch this. Because I always end up in this awkward situation where people ask you, what movie do you hate the most? And I never have a solid answer. I always just like stumble around.
Is this now it?
I can really get a visceral hate going, and people will be like, oh, he hates that movie. So thank you for that. You rounded out my library of movies. So yeah, that was cool.
You hate this. Wait, you hate this more than Caddyshack 2?
Yes.
Wow. Yes.
There's some entertainment value to Caddyshack 2.
Oh no, there's not. Oh.
This was worse than Caddyshack 2.
Okay.
This thought what it was. This was that guy who walks down the street just barking out shit, and he has no idea what he's saying, but he thinks he knows what he's saying. And that movie.
And he's wearing a tweed coat with elbow patches, I would surmise.
I was picturing a guy in like a tracksuit and a slick back hair, but yeah.
Continue.
So I was going to bring up the black screen, but we covered that. I like that the movie just shits on evolution and is like, nope, you guys didn't pull this off yourself. A giant iPhone is what passed along the ability to fucking put together using a bone to kill something. Otherwise, you guys would still be throwing shit at each other. But that was that. I totally agree with JL. That was the most interesting part of the movie. But those costumes didn't hold up. Like they did. They had to know putting those on, being like, you know what? I think in 20 years, this is going to look like you'll be able to get better Halloween costumes on Amazon than this. The switch to the space scenes. When he goes into the bathroom and there's just the Magna Carta of instructions on how to use the bathroom, and however confused he was with that was how I felt watching the movie. He must have been like, you know what? I don't have to take a shit today. I'll be fine. I'm not gonna
hold it. I'll dookie my spacesuit and then change out when I get back from fixing the problem outside in space. Yeah.
And I like that the space station airport still looked like 1960s airports. Like they didn't even try to be like, maybe they'll look a little different. No, they still look like that TWA. We could be smoking in the in line fucking airport. Where's your boarding pass? But when it gets down to it, the stuff on the when they were actually on the spaceship going to Jupiter, that was where it should have been interesting. The whole movie should have been 45 minutes long. If this movie was 45 minutes long, it would have been an okay movie. They would have gotten the points across. You would have watched it, said, okay, I get it, and moved on. The fact that it was 2.5 hours was just him shitting on all of us, being like, no, fuck you. You're going to watch this, and I'm just going to drag shit out. Even the exciting stuff. Even when the guy got his airline cut and he got jettisoned from the thing, and you should have been like, oh, shit. I was like, all right, I guess. Good for him. He died. He doesn't have to live through the rest of this hour and a half of crap. Then the whole ending was so there's an interview with Kubrick where he explains what he thinks the ending meant. And then he says, but I never wanted to say any of this. But he goes into it. And apparently what the ending meant, and unlike JL, I look up movies constantly. Because I'm always like, I'm not smart enough to get what they're saying, so I need to know. Kubrick said that, so what happened at the end was, and by the way, I didn't get any, none of the explanation of the movie I got. So the big thing on the moon was supposed to let the aliens know that humanity has gotten to the point where they could get to the moon. And now things had to be set in motion. Then that communicated with the thing in Jupiter, and said, you need to turn on because there's probably going to be humans coming out to check you out and we need to get ready for them. And then that sent them, that opened up like a wormhole, which sent them to an alien zoo where they were being examined. And that was the house that he ends up in going through his life. And he experiences everything at once. The Kubrick said he experiences that entire moment just like the audience does. So I imagine he was frustrated and wanted to turn it off because that I didn't get that. And then at the end, the aliens are basically done with him and they go, all right, well, now we're going to give him our intelligence, just like we gave the monkeys a little bit of intelligence, send him back to Earth and he's going to cure all of Earth's problems. And that's what they sent back to Earth, was the space baby or star baby or whatever they called it.
Right.
And that was also explained in the 2001 novel, which the novel sounds like it was marginally better than the book, marginally better than the movie, which makes me hate this movie more because they could have just stuck to the book and it would have made sense. But instead, Kubrick had to be like, no, I'm a douchebag. I'm going to make it completely incomprehensible. And so in closing, I didn't like this movie. That said, would you give it you gave it a 3?
I did.
I give it a 2.
We always have the same goddamn scores except today. Wow.
I give it a 2. And it gets those 2 points because it was such an important movie. And like JL was saying, I have to give a little credit to, I wasn't watching it in 1968. So I might've had a different mindset, but there was no plot. There were no character arcs. There were no problems and resolutions. There was no climax. There was nothing that makes a story. For thousands of years, humans have been telling a story. And Stanley Kubrick was like, I know better. Fuck you, Stanley Kubrick.
When you ask people about this film, what the two answers are going to give you, like what two things that come to mind, free association with 2001, go. They're going to say Hal, and they're going to say the fucking music, and that's it. They're not going to remember the monkeys. They're not going to remember the bullshit on Jupiter. Nothing. There is no memorable dialogue, as you just aptly had said. There's nothing memorable about this fucking film except those two aspects. But again, as you also just said too, without this, there's not Star Wars, I dare say. Without that, there is no Star Wars. There is, I guess Buck Rogers too, not that he had the impact on society as Star Wars did, but Alien, another one. I mean, Jesus, Alien, the shots, the ship itself, for Christ's sakes, very, pretty much copied this film. So this film was the pioneer, but they died of dysentery on the first mile of their journey going west. That's what I say. This film fucking sucks. Kevin Israel, I don't have to ask you this question because we all know the answer. Did J.L. Coven gut the sacred cow? No, he did not. Why? Because this film gutted itself, not him. This film committed seppuku 5 times over.
I'm gonna give JL the credit of gutting this sacred cow.
All right, fair.
I feel like, but if there was a debate between him and somebody who loved this movie, there it wouldn't be fair. Like
right.
Like nobody could argue against his points, and I feel like the movie would be taken down. So I think we award him a gutting because.
All right, I'll give him a gutting. But yeah,
he was a travesty, and he made his points.
I don't think it was a particularly hard movie to like dislike, but I felt like it was necessary because it just gets treated like this automatic
sacred cow.
Well, it's yeah, exactly. Oh well, you know, no, 2001 is just a landmark film. It's amazing, and I'm like, ugh. It's not the God, like the Godfather. The Godfather is one of those movies. Oh yeah? 2010, right?
Yeah. It didn't do as well, obviously, and Kubrick wasn't involved, but it follows the sequel, the second book, and it actually sounds like he did. He followed the second book.
Oh, it's like a regular movie, probably.
Yes, 100%. And that's what they said. They were like, it loses a lot of its artistic impression in favor of storytelling. And I'm like, oh my God, why would a movie ever want to storytell?
And that film is called Starship Troopers. No, I fucking love Starship Troopers. I'm just kidding. That film's great. I do love that. JL Coven, where can we find you, my good man?
JLcomedy.com, JL Coven on Twitter. YouTube.com/JL Coven. And I have a weekly podcast as Trump called Making Podcasts Great Again.
Fantastic. Go follow him on Twitter. He needs to get to 100,000.
Yeah, he's almost there. Right.
Kevin Israel, where can we find you besides not a barber's chair?
Yeah, well, you can go look at my absolutely barren calendar on my website. You can get my album, The Struggle Is Real, on all the places where you get albums. And yeah, that's really it.
Not much going on over at kevingoatee.com as well. That calendar is as barren as Stanley Kubrick's head right now. Ugh. What else is going on? Guttingthesacredcow.com. That's what's going on. Go over there, check out. We've got a, I put an article on a blog up today, as a matter of fact. Go give that a looky loo.
You had a lot of motivation. I gave you give you credit.
Oh, thank you.
You woke up today and were like, I'm making a list and getting shit done.
Check out the blog. Check out our merch store. We've got hats, shirts, mugs, whatever. Whatever you have, our smiling faces on your chest, head, derriere, I don't know, whatever. Gutting the Sacred
great
Cow.
Great artwork, by the way. Great artwork on the show, like for real.
Oh, thank you.
It's like awesome.
Appreciate that. And you will hear, Gutting the Sacred Cow on all social medias, GTSC podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Just good old Gutting the Sacred Cow. And we'll be on IBM TV in the next week or two. And starting from there, we'll be streaming on that. Yeah, we are very excited for that. But for this, and thank you, JL Colvin, and of course, President Trump for coming on our podcast and taking down all hell of the chief and taking down 2001 A Space Odyssey. Kevin Goatee, Kevin Israel, thanking you, JL Colvin, for coming on Gutting the Sacred Cow. We'll see you next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.